George, good morning, welcome. Keep Bibles open if you would, please, at Matthew chapter 13. And we continue this series. For those who weren't here last Sunday, Tim Martin opened the parabolic living life series up for us with a great sermon, a great introduction to parables. And do listen to that if you haven't heard it, because it really does set the scene. And last Sunday was about soils, conditions of the soil to receive the seed. And of course the point is clear, as Jesus makes it, that different soils, or if you like, hearts, respond to the good news Jesus was bringing in different ways. And without recapping on what Tim said, but I need to just say this because I want to pray again in a moment. As Jesus is telling about someone going out to sow, your heart, if you like, and my heart, I haven't got the clicker, so if I could use Ruth, don't worry, thank you for the next one. I don't need a picture to show you, but our speaker yesterday was wearing wired up for a heart monitor because he'd been having trouble with his heart over recent weeks. And I can just imagine that graph going up and down and doing whatever it does. And in a sense, this series, this term is so vital to our well-being, our life, our discipleship for those who are following Jesus Christ, as to how our heart is, what is the condition of the soil, to use the metaphor Jesus is using here in the farmer going to sow seeds. And as Jesus specified, the seed falls into different sorts of land. The path where the birds snatch the seed, it's the person who forgets quickly. The rocky places, joy at first, but no roots form, and the seed soon scatters. Or the thorny soil, the person who hears the word of God, but there's loads of stuff in that soil, worries and cares and things of this world, and very quickly the seed gets choked. Or the good soil, the good heart, which is ready and receptive to hear the word of God and understands the word of God. And such a person produces a crop. And at the end of the passage last Sunday, it's in chapter 13 of Matthew, so just a page back, verse 23. That person who hears the word and the soil is good, and receives the word, understands the word, they produce a crop yielding 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. And I want to pray, because I'm praying that we would be multiplying people like that. We can't get that sort of multiplication, whether 100 or 30 or 60 or whatever. In a sense, that's God's business, but we can do our bit by responding to the word that we've just heard read to us, and as we go on to listen to these other two parables. So in a sentence or two, Lord, hear us. We've already prayed that you would speak to us this morning. Yesterday we were, in a sense, looking again at our lives, at our hearts, what we're about. We pray that there'll be nothing distracting this morning that would choke the life of your word seed. We pray rather that you would find us ready, with ears open, that your word would land with these wonderful two parables, that we would know what to do and go away and do it with your Spirit's help. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, of course, these parables are a particularly Jewish form of storytelling. In Jerusalem last summer, we spent a day with a Jewish rabbi. He's an Orthodox Jewish rabbi who informed us as Christians in the group. He almost laughed at us, saying, you've got your roughly, how many, 40 parables in the Gospels? He said, in classic rabbinic literature, we have over 40,000 parables that we are dealing with from around the time of Christ, that the rabbis are looking into and trying to understand. And so I think that's a very helpful perspective as we come to this. Jesus was using the genre that people were used to, the method of telling the story. And in a sense, as Tim, I think, said last Sunday as well, a classic form of then trying to put the onus on the hearer to do some work with it. So as George just read that, yeah, we understand about a mustard seed and about some yeast. The question the parable asks of us is, do we really understand about the mustard seed and the yeast? Typically, we want in our culture to find a meaning in everything. We want three-point headings. We want to know things which are easy to grasp and to have it nailed so that I know unequivocally what it was about. And with Jesus in his parable telling, there's just that flexibility that it can be read at different levels. But some points are very, very specific and clear as well. So looking from verse 31, Jesus tells them this other parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Then Jesus explains an important angle to the meaning. The mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree. Now, if this was a school lesson or a training seminar, the teacher would then say, discuss. Yet this isn't just theory. Jesus has been demonstrating his power in real life context. So don't lose the stuff Jesus is doing with his teaching. He has been showing that the kingdom of God is now near in him with the miracles he's doing, the power he's exercising over the evil one, with incredible transformation. The kingdom of God is starting to be evidenced. And it's for the hearers then and now who are trying to puzzle out what the kingdom of God means and what it looks like. Now, I don't know if I need to say this again, but friends, this isn't about the church. This is about the kingdom of God life. And sometimes we've got to get ourselves out of the church mentality of trying to just see these things through the lens of church to get to the heart of what Jesus was doing and bringing in here. Now, I think this is a really vital question for Christians in the world this week, today. As you've seen, some of the headlines over the past few days point to the insecurity that many Christians are feeling in our country and around the world. Many Christians expressing isolation, vulnerability. Many Christians feeling the hostility of evil and the risk and the reality of death. And here in the UK, we're having to come to terms with a society where Christendom as we knew it is collapsing, if not collapsed, all around us. And so those structures have gone. So here is this parable of a seed growing into the culture of the world. Now, I've read a few varying approaches to this. So if you read, depends when you read. So 100 years ago, commentaries. Some of them took this parable of Jesus and basically said, look, this is what Jesus was saying. From this tiny seed grows this incredible spread of Christianity around the globe that the world is going to be Christianized. Now, the reality is two world wars in the 20th century shocked people, literally in every sense. And we would look at what's going on in the world today with a very different angle and say, hey, what's going on? Is God still at work in the world? Well, yes, his word tells us he is. Has he forgotten me or you? No, he will never forget us or forsake us. But what seems to come through these parables is not the Christianization of the world, that somehow we should all be working towards that, but God's promise that the kingdom of God is coming in and he's at work in the lives of individuals and he's doing something bigger in ways that perhaps we don't even understand fully. Now back to this seed. Very simple. In our church in Richmond, we had dear friends, Nigel and Helen Hepper. Nigel was the chief principal scientific officer at Kew Gardens. So you've got your expert on seeds sitting in the congregation. He's now in heaven. But Nigel would make this point, that it is very difficult to identify the actual seed that Jesus is referring to here about the mustard seed. Some have likened it to a black mustard seed. I can't even pronounce the name. Or a different sort of plant, which was common in Israel. We don't know precisely, but here's the point. The fact is there is a seed. First point. And that seed is so tiny, almost like a speck of dust. So not even like the big seed that's perhaps you've planted already in the garden. But this is the sort of seed that you can hardly see. And it would just blow if I had one in my hand. You wouldn't know if I had it or not, holding it there. Speck of dust type of seed. And of course, this image has worked into our language and into our culture in many ways. For a tiny speck, we've talked about faith as small as a mustard seed. It's tiny. And as we add to this metaphor here, the notion that when such a seed is planted, this enormous growth is generated. surprisingly so. Expectations and proportions far beyond what was anticipated. Now, of course, Jesus, speaking in this genre of parables, was making not just one point, but working at various levels, as I've just said. This is what the kingdom of God is like, he's saying. And so we do well to get hold of the fact that what Jesus is doing and saying is in effect like that tiny speck that you can hardly see. And it describes what is happening between the sowing and the harvesting. There's another gospel, in Mark's gospel, Mark describes it, that the farmer does his sowing. And he goes to have a night's sleep. And while he's asleep, God does the growing. In the parable we have missed out, the one before the mustard seed, there is a parable of the weeds. And it's the sense in which there are also some weeds growing up in this ground. So therefore there's conflict. And while everyone is sleeping, an enemy has come in and sown weeds and then has gone away. And so I want to just say three very simple things. Firstly, there is a seed. Now, see, that's so obvious. I remember, I think it was American football team, but the story works in any culture. His team, the manager's team, had been performing abysmally. And he was so, so horrified with his team's performance on the field that he called them all into the dressing room, perhaps rather like Cheltenham Town right now, and called them all together. And he says, gentlemen, it's a male team, we're going to go through, start from the basics again. This is a football. And I can see that point. And this is, in a sense, friends, this is a seed. Jesus is telling folk that the kingdom of God is here. And this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is a seed. And in the words of Jesus, it's like a seed sown into the soil of human hearts. And in that seed, it encompasses all of God's rule, which has come in and through King Jesus. God is at work in his world. By God's action through his Son, so much so that God wants folk to discover the secrets of the kingdom of God for themselves. But secondly, and this is where we start to elaborate, recognize how powerful the mustard seed is. Its capacity to grow exponentially. Ruth, can you do that for me, please? Thank you. Its capacity to grow exponentially is beyond our imagination. We really need to grasp the power to go from these tiny beginnings to massive strength and impact. With an untrained eye, like mine, we would look at the seed, and I could conclude, if I saw some of this stuff spilled in the shed or somewhere, that is just so insignificant. It's useless, valueless, weak, it's vulnerable, it's minuscule in its impact. But what Jesus is drawing home here is, no, this seed has power in it. It has amazing potential in it. This is the kingdom of God at work. And have you noticed that about Jesus? In his life, from his humble beginnings in his birth at Bethlehem, going to remote, obscure places, dealing with ordinary, powerless sorts of people, Jesus is starting to sow the seed, talking, teaching about God's kingdom. So inconspicuous, in a sense. The Son of God delivered into the world to save his people from their sins. And perhaps most poignantly at the cross where Jesus dies. This is God's kingdom coming in and in and in. And it all seems so broken and weak, so vulnerable as God's Son dies. But in that seed is the victory and the power. And the kingdom of God advances rapidly because at the cross forces of sin and evil are dealt with. And there's a victory at the cross. And so from these quiet beginnings comes this revolution of hearts and minds through the Gospels and through the Acts. And then over the centuries since, as Jesus starts to work in the lives of men and women. And we're part of that this morning. God's seed of his word, if it's not yet started working in your life, is powerful to change a man or a woman by his Holy Spirit. So friends, do you recognize the work of God growing in you and the power of that seed? and the signs of the life, that he will help us to live parabolically, as it were. Now, God seems to delight in small ways and then to do big things. And my final point, thirdly, is the potency of the yeast in this second parable to bring about change. I'm not sure if you noticed how each parable here reflected the work of first century culture. So in the first parable there of the mustard seed, you've got the men sowing. In this second parable, they often go in pairs, you've got here the woman working at home, doing the baking. Very sexist, some might think. The same balance happens in the lost sheep and the lost coin. You've got the man going after the sheep, the lost sheep, and you've got the woman who's sweeping, trying to find the lost coin. Now, before you make too much of that, I just want to make this brilliant, I think it's a brilliant perspective, that Jesus came to address those in his culture who wouldn't be addressed otherwise. And he's raising the dignity of women here. He's including them in his story. He's got something for them. They are also included in the kingdom of God. Welcome to join God's new kingdom, people. Now, this yeast business involving the staple diet of the Middle East, bread making. You've probably seen it as well as you travel the Middle East. Many of you have traveled frequently on business. I know you're regularly there. And you'll see the bread makers are often there on the streets making bread, selling bread. It's the staple diet. And the secret, of course, was keeping some live yeast over from the previous bread making session and incorporating that yeast into the new batch of bread, new batch of dough. And so that the new bread would rise and increase the batch. Now, there's a little footnote at work which has a few measurements because the other gospel writers include 3 satyrs, which is probably the amount needed to feed 100 people, it's estimated. Without that yeast, that bread making would result in a flat, unleavened matzos type of cracker. That's the reality. Now, I find this graphic image compelling because, again, not knowing much about baking, but I can just sense something of the bakers, and we've got the Plank family here who are the experts in all of this, but the yeast being worked through that batch of dough. And I see, and I went and even looked online, that's sad, isn't it, but to see these videos of making bread and just the effort and the top tips for how to really get the yeast into the dough and the flour and to really work it through. You've done it, I'm sure. And this is the point, the kneading process requires strength and firm action. And I like that image because it doesn't seem to be the main point Jesus is making, but it works. That often our lives as followers of Jesus Christ are tough and we feel bashed about and we feel the pressure coming to bear as things are being worked through. And there is a real sense in which the yeast is at work in us. The yeast of the kingdom. Have you felt squeezed recently? Pressurized because of your following Jesus Christ? Could it just be by God's grace that his kingly work and purposes are being allowed to spread through us, bringing about change? And the power of the presence of Jesus in us is influencing us and others. It's spreading. Sometimes we wonder, what is God doing with us? Will anything come of my small life? How will I have that significant multiplying life where I can impact others? And there's a sense of 30, 60, 100-fold multiplication going on with my life productivity. Well, that's the prayer. Please, God, use me. Use us. And sometimes when it seems that it's so small, let's take the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast on board, because who knows what comes by the faithful planting of gospel seeds in us and through us. I think I've said all I want to say, but I want to end with 2 examples, stories, real life. When I last spoke on this passage, it was in the 90s, and in our church, I was able to say, there's a lady in our other room teaching in the Sunday school. Jeanette, her name is, and she's still teaching young children. And Jeanette came from a family with no Christians in the family, but on a difficult housing estate near where the church was. And the church that we were part of had sent a team week after week faithfully doing gospel work. They called it a Sunday school, a service on a Sunday, just trying to be open. Numbers were not dramatic. It was quite ordinary. Some might even have said old-fashioned. But out of that small group of children who would come from the estate week after week, Jeanette had become a Christian. And now, 3 or 4 decades later, was still serving Christ. And it is still serving Christ, telling others. And there was another girl who became a Christian, and she felt the call of God to go and be a minister in East London on a really tough area. And she's still there to this day, decades later, serving Christ. Interesting, isn't it? I was talking to Rob Hay, principal at Redcliffe, the other week, about just God's work and in church life and where sometimes we feel not much is happening. And he was describing how he was part of a smallish church, I think under 100 people, if I remember his number right. But out of that group that had a teenage group of 10, 20 people, most of those are still walking with Jesus today, and many of them have gone with good news of Jesus somewhere to make a difference. It's not about the numbers, it's the mustard seed, the small, and the power and the potency of that seed to expand and to grow and to have a real penetration into the society for Christ. The other example I use is one that I come to again and again because it's a visual aid in front of our eyes of a mustard seed truth. And you just have to look to China. And the fact of the matter is that as the early missionaries went to China to take the good news of Jesus Christ, and they were going, so many of them, on one-way tickets. Not sure if they would make it back. They just had something in them of the desire to make Christ known to those who'd never heard of the name of Jesus. And in 1900, at the Boxer Uprising, where foreigners were oppressed and killed, executed, and out of the missionary constituency, 239 missionaries were murdered. But hey, over 20,000 Christians in China were murdered, 1900. The church was fragile. And yet, as Tim and Melody have been sharing recently with their visit a few months ago, the church is expanding, exploding, where they reckon that between 5 and 8% of the Chinese population now follow Jesus Christ. And we're not to know God's ways or God's methods. But I want to be part of a church. I want to be a disciple who trusts in the power of that seed of the gospel. Next Sunday evening, I have put it down as just called church life. And to be honest, we weren't really sure what we were going to do there, apart from the fact that church away day yesterday, we were going to listen carefully. And we've got numbers of things we need to address as a church. And so next Sunday evening, we're going to start unpacking some of the real challenges. I think our most timely one to start with will be looking at our youth ministry. How are we as a church going to raise the bar and raise our impact for so many who are working hard to make Christ known to our young people? And if that's of interest to you as a parent or a prayer or part of a church, come along next Sunday, be part of that. It'll be an evening service with a difference, because I'm really keen for hearing from people and then praying together and seeing what God has got for us in these coming months. But it's not just about the young people, as we heard earlier. And so the next one will be about our pastoral care structures, because again, we need to try and work out, as a church gets to a size where it's very hard to know everybody, how do we put in place things, and what do we do, and how do we operate well to really care for one another? And this is where I keep coming back to the power of the seed. If God is at work, which he is, in us, then trusting him with the very little that we have, we're stretched and strained. I don't know where the resources come from for a whole lot of these things. But I want to trust a big God who, when Jesus is saying here that it's out of a mustard seed, it can grow into a big tree. What a parable, what a picture. That God is at work here, and in this town, not just about Cambrai, but in this town and area, God is at work in ways which, when we are faithful to his word and it lands and we seek him and we pray to him, he can use us to be something that is significant to turn the tide in our anti-Christian, anti-Christ culture. May that be so. And may God help us to live that kingdom life. Shall we pray together before we come to the table? Lord, we pray it so often, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for these pictures. Thank you that we're meant to tussle with them and, in a sense, reflect on them as we go and think. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever you're doing here amongst us in these days, that you would work that yeast through. That we would get that sense of what you're saying to us as a church. That we would pray all the more. That we would trust you all the more. That we would really believe your word, that you lead your people forward. You protect, you watch over, you use us. And it wasn't all meant to be about just having fun. It was actually about being seriously used by you. Lord, I don't know how that's going to take place, what we do next. But I thank you know, and you've always got purposes and plans for each one of us. Lord, I don't know where the money comes from in so many things that we could be doing if only we had the cash. But I know that you're the God of miracles, and again, out of small gifts, widow's mites. When your people give sacrificially, you're able to multiply that to great impact and the saving of many lives. And that's what we pray for, that your kingdom would come. And men and women, families, boys and girls, all ages, we would discover that beauty of the church as we heard about it yesterday. All in it together, learning and loving and living together in Christ Jesus. And we do thank you now that as we come around the table, we have this wonderful expression of life together in and through our Lord Jesus Christ and his death. And in his name we pray. Amen.